ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Palayanti prajapala Palayanti prajapala Yavad antam vibhagasya Yavad antam vibhagasya Yajna bhaga bujodeva Yajnabhaga bhujo deva Yecha tatran vitaschatai Yecha tatran vitaschatai Palayanti prajapala Yavadantam vivagachaha Yajna bhaga bhujob deva Yecha tatram vitas chatai Palayanti prajapala Yavadantam vivagachaha Yajna bhaga bhujob deva ये च तत्रान्वितश्चधै पालायन्ति प्रजाभाला यावरन्तं विवागशः यज्ञभागभुजो देवा ये च तत्रान्वितश्चतै Palayanti prajapala Yavadhantam vivagashah Yajna bhaga bhujo deva Yecha tantra vitaschatai Palayanti prajapala Yavadhantam vivagashah Yajna bhaga bhujo deva Yecha tantra vitaschatai Palayanti prajapala Yavadantam vivagashah Yajna bhaga bhujo deva Yecha tantra vitaschatai Palayanti prajapala Yavadantam vibhagashah Yajna bhaga bhujo deva Yecha tantram vitaschatai Ladies Palayanti prajapala Yavadantam vibhagashah Yajyavaga bhujo vaiva Yecha tantra vitaschatai Palayanti Execute the order Prajapalaha The rulers of the world Namely, the sons and grandsons of Manu. Yavat antam, unto the end of Manu's reign. Vibhagashaha, in divisions. yajna-bhāga-bhujaḥ, the enjoyers of the results of yajna. Devaha, demigods. Ye, others. Cha, also. Tatra anvitaha, engaged in that business. Cha, also. Tai, by them. Translation. To enjoy the results of sacrifices, yajñas, the rulers of the world, namely the sons and grandsons of Manu, discharge the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead until the end of Manu's reign. The demigods also share the results of these sacrifices. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text number 2, evam parampara praptam emam rajasayo vidu. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. The parampara system extends from Manu to Ikshvaku, and from Ikshvaku to his sons and grandsons. The rulers of the world, in the line of hierarchy, execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the parampara system. Anyone interested in a peaceful life must participate in this parampara system and perform yajñas. As Gaudiya Vaishnavas in the parampara system of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we must perform Sankirtan Yajna all over the world. Yajnai Sankirtana Prayi Ajanti Hisameda Saha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this age of Kali, and he will be easily satisfied if the Sankirtan movement is spread vigorously all over the world. This will make people happy without a doubt. So, in this particular verse, we see that the arrangement of the Supreme Lord for management of the universe is that He incarnates Himself as the Manush, or He empowers them, the Manvantaras, to manage the universe in a proper way. They're performing sacrifices under the direction of the Supreme Lord so that they can enjoy the results of the sacrifices. And by that, the demigods are also enjoying the results of the sacrifices. So in the previous verse, it talks about the Manus reestablishing the principles of Dharma in terms of the varnas and ashrams. As we know, at the end of the Kali Yuga, or the end of the day of Brahma, there's a partial annihilation. So everything the next morning, Brahma recreates everything. And even at the end, and that's the nature of the material world, is that everything in the material world degenerates, whether it's the universe or our body, right? The living entities have various yonis, our bodies, and they come into existence, they exist for some time, they give off some byproducts, they dwindle, and then they're annihilated. So in the scheme of things, the universe is like that also. There's a Satyayuga, There's a Dwarapada Yuga, there's a Treta Yuga, and finally a Kali Yuga, where things dwindle. And the principles of religion are also dwindling in the various yugas. In Satya Yuga, people are very much attuned to spiritual life and to following their proper occupational duties for the proper purpose, right? And as we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam, the purpose of Dharma is liberation, to become free from the entanglement of the material world. Dharmasya apavargasya. Apavarga means the process of liberation. But as the yugas progress, this diminishes. People's understanding of Dharma and its purposes becomes less and less. We understand the principles of religion from Srimad Bhagavatam to be truthfulness, cleanliness, austerity, right? But gradually these are diminished. And in Kali Yuga, they're diminished even more. Right? People are confused about what is Dharma. They concoct so many different dharmas. And at the end of Kali Yuga, then the Satya Yuga is again started. So the Manus have to reestablish. And even Krishna, Lord Krishna speaks about this in the Bhagavad Gita. He had spoken the science to the sun god, and the saintly kings understood it. Right? But in time, the science as it is appeared to be lost. It's never really lost, but in the minds and in the hearts of living entities, it becomes covered over. Right? So, re-establishing the principles of Dharma, that was the activity of the living entities, because without proper establishment of Dharma, there won't be sacrifices. People won't perform sacrifices. And if people don't perform sacrifices, then it's not possible for them to become happy. Right? Of course, we understand that there's no real happiness in the material world. But even living here peacefully is not possible without performance of yajna or sacrifice. So the Vedic scriptures, they prescribe various yajnas to perform, right, for various kinds of persons. And as we see from this verse, they perform these yajnas under the directions of the Supreme Lord through the parampara system. And in that way, they could live in the world peacefully and be progressive. Progressive not in a material sense, but in a spiritual sense. Progressive from ending the cycle of birth and death. So this is the same thing is possible, even though it's Kali Yuga, even though it's a very, in one sense, bad time. Bhagavatam describes this yuga as Kalera Dosha. It means that it's an whole ocean of faults. There's many bad things in Kali Yuga, right? So, and we look around us, it's not hard to see mentality of the people is very low. They're not interested in spiritual life. Right? You try to sell them a book, they don't have time for it. Huh? They are pretty lazy, right? And most of all, they're always in anxiety. Just look at all the anxieties that they have. Right? They're in anxiety foremost about how to make money. Right? That's their business. All day long is to how to acquire wealth, how to make money. And we see that society is so much focused on this. Right? As if making money was the ultimate goal of life. Right? The government talks about it, how to increase the gross national product. Right? What do they call it? The GDP. It's the indicator of the health of the nation. Right? And God only knows what the parameters of measuring that is. Right? Go to college. The biggest department with the most budget is the, Department of Business. Right? The school, the business school. Harvard Business School. If you come from Harvard Business School, that's it. You're at the epitome of knowledge of what life is all about. And in this way, people are simply encouraged to somehow or another, earn money. And they try to cover over the crass materialism by sugarcoating it, by talking about ecology. Yes, we're after money, but we're going to do it in an ecological way. Or they talk about sustainability, right? And this way they appear to be, they're not just crass materialists. They're interested in the welfare of the people. Right? So they have various programs in the corporate world. Corporate social responsibility, CSR. Right? And people give in charity. Even the demons give in charity. It's described the demoniac mentality in Bhagavad Gita. Right? I will give in charity. Right? I have defeated my enemies. Right? No one can stand before me. And I'm giving in charity. Right? Even Robin used to give in charity. Right? So, this is a kind of coding to hide the reality. And the latest thing is called shared value. Corporations now, they went through philanthropic activities, giving in charity, CSR, trying to promote some NGO that's going to do welfare work for the people in general, right? But now they want shared value. You know what shared value is? This was brought up by a person called Michael Porter. He's the head of the Department of Business in Harvard University. So shared value is when a corporation, with their own interest in mind, they try to help the society so that it's good for their business. Right? Help society so that their business increases. And it goes along with, super sustainability or something like that. But in the end of it all, it's all about accumulating money. The bottom line. Right? And certainly, money is required. Acquiring some wealth is required, but it's not the goal of life. Right? It's not the goal of performing one's duty. And this is the manus we're trying to establish this. Even in Krishna consciousness, we're trying to establish it. Right? Varnashram. Because it's important. Not everyone is going to chant Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada said. And so for the rest of society, in order that there not be chaos, we have to establish proper occupational duties. So there's the occupation of the Brahmins, there's the occupation of Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras. They're all part of society. They're there anyway, like it or not. There's always a class of men that are going to be inclined towards teaching. There's always going to be a class of men that have political inclinations and military inclinations. And there's always going to be a class of men that are interested in business and farming. At least we hope there's always going to be farmers. Otherwise we're really going to be in trouble. Right? And there's a laborer class. Right? They're there. Chaturvarnyam yashrishtam guna karmiva bhagashaha. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So that will always be there. But establishing proper occupational duties is when the persons perform these duties for the ultimate goal of life, which is apavarga, dharmasya apavarga sha, as Krishna says, that the occupational duties should be performed for ultimate liberation. And when you perform your occupation in a proper way, there'll be some result from that occupation. So that result is not meant to be engaged in sense gratification. Nartasya dharmakantasya kamo labhaya hishmitaha. So this we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is what the Manus were trying to reestablish. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned specifically about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan Yajna. This is the Yajna of this age. Right? The performance of Sankirtan. The congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. In the spiritual world, Krishna is enjoying with his devotees and with various mellows. Right? Either as Krishna's friend, as Krishna's parent, or as Krishna's lover. So we learn from the Krishna book how the devotees in these mellows, or rasas, interact with Krishna. So the mellow of Krishna with the gopis is called Rasalila, right? Rasalila. And we understand that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. But not with a blackish form, with a non-blackish form, a golden form. And he descends with his associates. And persons with sufficient intelligence will worship him by performing Sankirtan Yajna. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that same Leela in Goloka of Krishna dancing with the gopis, it descends in Kali Yuga in the form of the Harinam Sankirtan. So how is that? How do we understand that? It seems very esoteric. But the mood of the gopis in Vrindavan, and it's headed by Srimati Radharani, is one of, especially Srimati Radharani, making arrangements for others to to enjoy with Krishna. In fact, we learn from the acharyas, like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Radharani enjoys more when she makes arrangement for the other gopis to be with Krishna than she does even when she's with Krishna herself. So we can understand that when we go out on Sankirtan, we're actually making arrangements, we're assisting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his mood, because he came down to understand the love that Radharani has for himself, because he suspected that love was even more blissful than the love that he was experiencing for his devotees. What is that love the devotees have for him? He came to taste that. And in order to do that, he took on the mood of Srimati Radharani. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is experiencing or relishing, and also is an anxiety about, bringing living entities to Krishna. So, performing Sankirtan Yajna means to bring people to the lotus feet of Krishna. And this is what it means to be a confidential associate of the Lord. We see in the example of our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada that he was day and night concerned how to bring people to Krishna consciousness. Okay? And if we can somehow or another assist him in that effort, then we would be able to please Lord Chaitanya. So here Srila Prabhupada is the same. First of all, if we want to be peaceful, we should be connected to that parampara system, you know, where the knowledge is handed down from spiritual master to spiritual master. Then it will have its potency, right? If it's not based on that, then it can quickly become diverted, right? As we see, after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, there were many upasampradayas that manifested themselves with not clear understanding of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, right? Confused. And it wasn't until the time of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who came to an empowered acharya that could actually clearly present the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Things were so covered over that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had heard of Chaitanya Charitamrita, so he thought he must read that book by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj. But he couldn't find that book. There wasn't a copy. He had to search out, you know, to find a copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So things were so covered over. Okay? And that's what the acharya who's in the line of disciplic succession does, is that he makes things clear. He sets things right so that people can actually understand what is what, and how to proceed further in the performance of this Sankirtan, the yajna, the sacrifice of the sage. So first of all, it has to be in the line of the acharyas, And then when one performs a sankirtan, one can live very peaceful. And not only can one live peacefully, but one can actually help so many other people. Right? Because people are simply grossly absorbed in sense gratification. They think the ultimate goal of life is to somehow or another enjoy here. And therefore they're frustrated. They're confused. They're bewildered. So the devotees of the Lord who takes up this process, sincerely trying to apply it in their lives, they'll not only be benefited, they'll be able to live this life progressively, but they'll also be able to help so many other people. So Srila Prabhupada encouraged us to, as the word here he uses, vigorously. That Lord Chaitanya will be vigorously, if we will be pleased, if we vigorously try to spread this movement all over the world. So the chief means for spreading this movement has been proposed to us by Srila Prabhupada by the sale and distribution of his books. Right? Srila Prabhupada's books. And practically we have seen that the Krishna consciousness movement, when books are profusely distributed, the movement automatically expands. Srila Prabhupada has mentioned that whatever we see in ISKCON today, temples and so many different programs for preaching, it's all come about by the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. So the more we distribute books, the more people will find out about Krishna consciousness, the more they'll become happy, and the more we'll become closer towards the goal of developing pure love of Godhead. So, are there any questions? Yes. Here's the mic.
Means one who is aligned in the Guru Parampara, when he brings soul to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we get satisfaction. Means, so can you explain more that how connection with the Guru Parampara means? When we explain something to the people, they do not accept, and we also left in between.
The connection to the Guru Parampara, it comes by hearing. And that hearing has to have, it has its potency because it's coming through the Parampara. We need to become a proper reciprocal of that hearing. Right? So we become able to receive the knowledge when we do strict sadhana. By following strictly the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti, we become capable, we become qualified to receive the transcendental, the dibya jnana, the transcendental knowledge. And we also become, in that way, a conduit for passing the knowledge on to others. Right? Now, as far as somebody taking, somebody not taking, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that's not in our hand. Whether somebody takes, whether somebody doesn't take, that's in the hands of Lord Chaitanya. Who will take, who will not take. But we're following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya by not discriminating. described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Panchatattva, they didn't discriminate who would take and who wouldn't take. They freely distributed to everyone. So we can approach everyone. But if we find that someone's not receptive, well, we just go to another person. Right? We try our best. If they're not taking, we go to someone else. But our effort, our endeavor should be that we try to, you know, strictly perform what Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Devotion, which is to always think of Krishna and never forget Him. And we should, a Nectar of Instruction, we should mold our life in such a way that, you know, 24 hours a day we're nicely thinking of Krishna's holy name, His form, His pastimes. And if we endeavor to try to do that, then certainly we'll be a potent conductor in the passing on the message of the Parampara system. So it's based on our own efforts to some degree, and also it's based on the mercy of Krishna. We need the mercy of Krishna, and then we'll be able to help people by properly representing the Parampara. Everyone, even a new bhakta, is a representative of the Parampara. Simply by following the instructions and properly presenting what he or she has heard, they become a representative of the Parampara. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, just like whatever Acharya is giving us, so we have to follow that one. Sometimes we hear something and we say something. So we have to see that how what he has given, we have to follow exactly as it is, just like Bhagavad Gita is given as it is. So whatever Acharya is giving, we should do as it is. We shouldn't hear something and say something. Right, let's comment on it.
Yes. It's very important to understand what the Acharya is saying and then present that according to time, place, and circumstance without any change, without any adulteration. Srila Prabhupada many times pointed out that he gave us without any adulteration, nothing mixed in it, right? It's like sometimes they put water in the milk, right, to increase the quantity. But it's adulterated. So without any without mixing in our own idea, but take that idea as it comes from the authorities and present it according to time, place, and without any adulteration. And that will be potent. That will be effective in the lives of the hearers. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji, for the class. My question is with connection to the initial of the session that you are sharing about class, about that Michael Potter who was sharing about the shared values. So, the company wants to do good to the society and they want to extend their help. But while extending the help, it's very difficult, like they are thinking about their own business actually. So my question is, as devotees also, like when we are distributing books, it's very difficult to just help or try to inspire people. Sometimes we are being motivated. So it seems to be very difficult, seems to be quite inherent, this tendency in us also, that we also want to share values, but without an ulterior motive seems to be quite difficult. Like when I was distributing books, we were thinking about to say in such a way that this person agrees and then, you know, finally he buys the book. So if you can share us, Prabhuji, that how we can have the correct mentality to actually share Krishna's words, not only just from a business point of view.
Well, in his book, Vaisheshika Prabhu writes a little incident that happened to him. At that time, he was living in Los Angeles. And it was 4:30 in the morning. He was going to Mangalarti. And there was this carload of young men that were, you know, driving around, having a good time at 4:30 in the morning. Right? So, you know, that's American life. And he could understand they'd been up all night drinking or whatever, right? And now they were headed home at 4:30, and he was going to Mangalarti. So nightlife means the bar or the tavern, the pub, it's dark, and a lot of tamogun activities are going on. And here he was going to Mangalarti, where it's bright and light, and seeing the deities, and chanting, right, the holy name, and, right, experiencing an enlightened atmosphere. So he was seeing the contrast between the two lifestyles, right, and appreciating the fact of what he had been given by Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, that may have been him going by in the car at 4:30 in the morning, headed home, right? To go to sleep and wake up in the afternoon sometime, right? With a headache, right? So, if you try to, many times people, they only think about what they don't have. And they're always in anxiety. They never stop to think about what they actually have and to be grateful for it. So sometimes we need to analyze, you know, what we've been given in Krishna consciousness, what opportunities we have, and what we've been helped to avoid in terms of, you know, low-grade activities. So if we analyze like that, then it becomes easy to, when you're presenting to people Krishna consciousness, you're giving them something that can really help them, right? And also help them to avoid the pitfalls of the unfortunate situations that come about in the material world. And nobody said it was easy, right? It's not like it's an easy thing. People don't have that outgoing nature just to come up to a stranger and start talking to him, right? But when the devotee analyzes, you know, his own good fortune and really understands it, then that's something you want to share with other people. Yes?
Lord Krishna comes to re-establish the religion or righteousness. So righteousness is the quality of Brahman. So did he establish Brahmanical culture? And Lord Chaitanya established the devotional culture. Is it like that?
Well, Lord Krishna establishes everything. Not only Brahminical culture, but the culture of all the different varnas. And within that, and over and above that also, he establishes his devotion to him, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskaru. Engage your mind in thinking of me, offer obeisances, and become my devotee. Sarva Dharmam Prityaja Mame Kam Sananambadu. Just surrender unto me. So, yes, he establishes Varnashram Dharma, but he also establishes the goal of Varnashram Dharma, which is a devotion, surrender unto him. So everything is included in that.
One more question. Lord Krishna is said to be the controller of the universe and this earth also. But we see that what is the budget of Mayapur temple is just earned by one film star or one cricket star or soccer star just within 5 years. So they are accumulating so much wealth just by one single nonsense activity, and whereas we have taken about 40 years to collect the money for Mayapur temple. How such a contrast can be tolerated and going on like this? Can't Krishna control such activities?
Well, we haven't been really collecting for 40 years for the TOVP. I think the real collection for the TOVP has only been going on for the last about 5 years, actually. But it's hard to equate. For materialistic purposes, there's so much expenditure that's going on all over the world. And for the execution or for the spreading of Krishna consciousness, comparatively, it's just a minute fraction, right? But that's to be expected. It's not a bewilderment. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam vidhitatpada. On many thousands of men, hardly one is going to endeavor for self-realization, for understanding what's the purpose of life. So that's not unusual. There's a lot more resources available for some materialistic idea than there is for spreading Krishna consciousness. So we don't really have to become bewildered by that. That's the nature of the Kali Yuga, right? But what we should be concerned with is what we can do to mobilize what's in our sphere of influence in the service of Krishna. You know, Iha yasya hrir dasya karmana manasa gira. We have our words, we have our mind, we have our body, and we can use that in the service of Krishna. And if we do try to use that in the service of Krishna, then even in this very lifetime, we can become liberated. You know. So that's what we should be concerned with. We don't need to become bewildered by the overwhelming odds of, materialism versus spiritualism. You're right. It's way outnumbered. The scale is way heavy on the materialistic side. But that doesn't take anything away from the potency of spirituality. Even in the midst of this most contaminated age, Kali Yuga, there's one great thing. And that is Kirtananeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramvijat. Paramvijat, you can attain the highest destination in this age simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, in the initial part you were mentioning about people earning a lot of money, and my question was related to that people nowadays, they feel that I'll earn a lot of money and I will also do some social service, some humanitarian work, some Greenpeace or something like that.
Right. Philanthropic.
Philanthropic work, which will give me peace of mind. And also I'll adopt healthy living habits, which may include vegetarian or non-vegetarian, But I'll have a healthy diet also. Healthy living habits.
Healthy living habits, yeah.
So I take healthy living habits and I have some peace of mind because I do some humanitarian work. And then I have a lot of money. So then with all this good setup to have a peaceful, happy life, enjoying life, why I should be religious? Why I should chant God's name? Why I should go to temples? Why I should do menial services or any services? Why I should do all these things? Because anyways I am quite peaceful and I am doing good and I know. So this is one thing we face sometimes. How to then understand and answer?
So this is this is the concept that I was talking about. You know, the corporates, the crass materialists, but yet they're doing this philanthropic work, are this assisting NGOs, CSR work, right? They're talking about helping other people. And certainly this, there's nothing wrong with that. If you sacrifice the fruits of your labor for some pious work, right, that actually will help you come a little bit closer towards actual service to Krishna, which is going to help us reach the goal of life. But to conclude that, I'm living a healthy lifestyle and I'm giving in charity, so I feel good about myself. It's not really going to stop the problems of life. Such persons are still going to experience old age, disease, and death. Right? And in order to get that money that they think is so important to have, I have money. Did it just fall off the tree and come in their lap? No. They had to work hard. And in the business world today, competition is such that if you're not a cutthroat businessman, it's hard to make money. Right? Matthew, tell us. He's a businessman. Right? You have to be on top of your game in order to make money. You have to be concerned about always looking behind you, who's coming up in the competition. Right? That's a lot of mental tension, stress, and anxiety that's there. Now, we all have a material body, and anxiety is something that comes along with a material body. It's just there. You're going to have anxiety. But the secret of becoming, unaffected by that anxiety is when that anxiety is not for your own self, but that anxiety is for Krishna. Anxiety, but anxiety for Krishna. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, I'm in anxiety. I'm in anxiety how to present Krishna consciousness so people will take it. I'm in anxiety how to protect, the ISKCON society. But that anxiety is for Krishna. So such persons, they may have good intentions and think they've got it all figured out, but they won't be able to escape from the anxiety that they will have for themselves. Just think of the underlying frustration that they have. Because they've worked hard, they've earned money, they've worked on their own personal life, tried to keep healthy habits, tried to have a lifestyle that's congenial, but they can't keep it. They have to die. They have to leave. They're going to be ripped out of that congenial position unwillingly. And that is the underlying frustration of life that they can't avoid unless they surrender to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says, you surrender to Krishna in this lifetime. If you don't surrender to Krishna in this lifetime, then you have to surrender to Krishna at death. Mrityu sarva charasya aham. I'm death personified. So better to, if you want to be channelize your anxiety in the right way, you have to surrender to Krishna. This they do not understand. Right? Due to a poor fund of knowledge, due to trying to figure everything out for themselves, their own buddhi. But the problem is, they have kharab buddhi. It's not working properly. There's one screw loose. And what happens is that the parampara, they tighten that screw so that it works properly. And that's the system that Krishna's made. So if you want to, you know, make your brain correct, you need that channelization from Krishna through His parampara. It's a system He made. Then, yes, all of the things that you meant, proper lifestyle, you know, doing charitable, trying to help other people, right? These are all, Prabhupada said, they're all zeros. And if you have a million zeros, it doesn't amount to anything. But if you take the same, if you just take one and put it in front of all those zeros, it becomes 10, 100, 1,000, 1,000,000. And what is that one that you have to put in front of all the zeros? Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada has told us, put Krishna in your life. And then all of these things will have meaning. Hare Krishna. Go ahead, Sundar Chaitanya.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the age of Kali, and He will be easily satisfied by Sankirtana movement if it is spread vigorously all over the world. This will happen and make people happy without a doubt. So generally this conception of pleasing the Lord with Sankirtana movement, that appears very kind of not very popular, neither it's very well known also, even in kind of pious credited people also. People, they don't feel need of spreading this Harinam, or they feel that it is not even spiritual, they don't consider it so important and valuable, although it is a Yuga Dharma. Although it is a Yuga Dharma, this is the process of this Kali Yuga, but still that process of Kali Yuga is not very popularized. We don't find so much stress given because...
Well, who's going to stress it? Who do you think is out there that's going to stress the Yuga Dharma? Universities? Businesses? What institution? The government? They're going to stress the Yuga Dharma? Huh? They should, yes. Maharaj Parikshit, Yudhisthira, if there were proper governments, they stress the Yuga Dharma. But because the government is fools and rascals, Prabhupada said, mudhas, you can't expect them to stress the Yuga Dharma. Are neither any of the institutions that we have. Right? So the world is headed in the wrong direction. Very fast. Like a train smashing into a wall. Right? And therefore you can understand the responsibility that is on us as devotees of Lord Chaitanya. To announce to the world, yes, this is the Yuga Dharma. This is what's going to make people happy. Sankirtan Yajna. People have some concept. They come, they see the deity, they put, you know, some money in the hundi. That's sacrifice, right? And it's a good thing. It's pious. But the Sankirtan Yajna brings them beyond piety. It's transcendental. It brings them to the ultimate Dharma. Surrender to Krishna. So we can't rely on any of the so-called institutions, normal institutions that are there within society. They're not going to work for us. It's on us. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. How can we expect that, you know, people are going to just naturally take to this? They won't, unless we present it to them. And even after that, there'll just be a few people that will take to it. But even that few people who take to the process can become very powerful, a very powerful influence. It can divert the world from catastrophe. Simply if a small portion of the population takes to Krishna consciousness. So it is a very, you know, big responsibility that we have as devotees of Lord Chaitanya. You had a question?
Hare Krishna. So I just had a question. Lord Krishna is often called as Karma Yogi. So he gave a lot of emphasis to your duties. He said you should not abstain from performing your duties. So if there's a person who's an atheist or he's agnostic, he does not believe in Lord Krishna, but he continues to perform all his duties, you know, righteously. He puts his 100% into them. So is Lord Krishna getting indirectly pleased by this? That was my question.
See, the atheist, they actually, by their pronunciation that there is no God, or that God is dead, we don't need God, etc., they become offensive. You know, when Krishna says perform your duty, that's not that perform your duty and forget me. He said perform your duty, don't be attached to the results. Offer the results to me. You understand? So how can an atheist offer the results or not be attached? You know, you have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you shouldn't be attached to the results. How would they ever become detached from the results of their activities if they don't believe in God? Who are the results for? The only conclusion that they can come to, the results are for me. And that may be in a direct way or an extended way. Me, my wife, my kids, my community, my country, my it's all directly or indirectly coming back to me. It's only when they can see, you know, in the beginning that I offer some results to the Supreme Person. And ultimately then they'll realize that everything is coming from Him. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. And such a person is very rare. But atheism is never going to help that person come to the proper stage. Hare Krishna. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Guruji. Guruji, suppose I have accepted that the Shastras are true, that is given by God, and it is also mentioned that there are sages who have derived their meaning of Shastra according to their conceptions, the Muni. So there are different words in the Sanskrit and Shastra. They have multiple meanings. And while Krishna instructing to Arjuna, the Bhagavad Gita also, for example, this Atma has multiple meanings. So I am as a like mental speculator, and I wanted that although Krishna is telling Atma for this mind at particular place, but I wanted to interpret that this Krishna is telling mind to the body, sorry, Atma to the body. And there are many sects, they are telling that this particular word is used in that context by Krishna.
Yeah, sure. So, there's a lot of mental speculators, like you said. But therefore we take knowledge from the parampara system. We find out what the acharya says, and we follow the acharya. And that way we stay safe from mental speculation. The mental speculators may come to the conclusion Vasudeva Sarvamiti, but it'll be Bahunam Jamanamante. It'll be after many, many births. They may come to that conclusion. But why should we speculate? Right? We can follow the path set out by the acharyas. We can understand what Krishna intended us to learn from Bhagavad Gita by following his tattva darshanas, and we save so much time. Why waste time with mental speculation? We just accept what the acharya says.
The next point comes that although I am accepting this parampara system, but I have my own parampara system.
You have your own parampara? Which parampara is that?
Suppose
I didn't know we were sitting amongst the next acharya having his own parampara. What is that parampara?
There are some
that you have, your own. There's only four Vaishnava sampradayas that I know of. Right? Sri Sampradaya. Right? Vishnu, the Brahma Sampradaya. We're in the Brahma Sampradaya. Would you like to join our Sampradaya? You would? Okay, good. Good. Welcome. The Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya. Any other questions? Yes?
So if I understand correctly, Guruji, it seems that he is asking the question that outside people, they say that, you know, okay, you have these four paramparas which you are mentioning, and I have my own parampara. So why I have to conform to yours only? It seems that is the question.
Well, you know, we encourage them, if they're in one of the bona fide sampradayas, we encourage them to follow that. But are they following that? That's the point. If they're in a bona fide sampradaya, in the Rudra sampradaya, or the Shri sampradaya, the Shiva sampradaya, fine, you follow. But we find they're not even following that. They're not connected properly. They can't even give up some simple thing like, you know, tea. You know, they're wearing big tilak, or chai pita hai, cigarettes pita hai. So where is the, you know, achar, where is the behavior? There's some problem in the line. The connection is, it got broke or something. So we don't say you have to be, follow your own, if it's a bona fide sampradaya, follow it. Follow it properly. The result will be there. And if you need help, then come and join us. in the Sankirtan Yagi of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Ritai Gaur Premanandi, Hare Hare.